Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
My favorite Father's Day story. This well-known journalist was asked to write an article for a men's magazine. Write an article on a very famous lawyer who was now an old man and had retired. And they want to do an article on his life. And so he was approached and he went to talk to the elderly gentleman, found out a lot. Then he found out that he had journaled most of his life. And so he asked if he could have some of those journal entries. While he was looking at those journal entries, he found out about his family. And he found one where he had entered something on a Saturday when his son was about 8 years of age. And the lawyer had written these words. He'd written all week how busy he was and all the things he'd done and the meetings he'd had and late nights. And then on it said, Saturday. Took my son fishing today. Day wasted. The journalist thought, well, let's see if the son has a journal. And he found that he had journaled around that time, and he was able to get a hold of the boy's journal. He'd become a famous doctor himself, but he found it, this entry. Went fishing with my dad today, greatest day of my life. Sometimes we see things differently. And the wisdom of being a father and a mother is to really see through the eyes of someone else. Now, over the years, I've been accused of being nice to mums on Mother's Day and being mean to fathers on Father's Day. In fact, I remember when we were in Simcoe, this lady came up to me. Her name was Carol Lee, and she a very sweet lady. And she the Sunday before Father's Day, and she had tears running down her cheeks, and she said, Pastor Q, my husband is such a nice man. Would you say something nice about him next Sunday? I got the hint that I was, I went back over my notes and I found, yeah, I've been mean. I've been mean to us guys. So, I'm not going to be mean this morning. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, bless this word to our hearts today. Thank you for this offering. Thank you for the heart of giving in this house. And Lord, we are believing that as the seed has been sown and we have cast our bread on many waters, we've sown into many ministries and the vineyards, we believe for that return. Thank you. Thank you that we can give knowing that you are the great giver of all. You gave your son that we might have eternal life. Holy Spirit, would you take these words and touch our hearts with them today? Because your word is alive and it's sharp, quick, powerful, and does an eternal work in each of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I just want you to put the word fathers up there for me, just the word fathers. I want to just say a few things here. It would appear that every time that God has wanted to reveal himself, he's called an individual, a person, usually a man. And go right back to the beginning. God wanted to reveal himself. So what does he do? He takes a lump of clay and makes a man in his image and his likeness. And says, if you want to see what I'm like, look at this lump of clay. That's crazy, isn't it? But that clay failed. And God could no longer say, look at him and you see me. Later when God wanted to reveal what faith was, how do I explain faith? He calls a man called Abraham. And he tests that man. He got him to the place where he could say, he's the father of the faithful. And if you want to understand faith, don't look at a theory, don't look at a doctrine, look at a man. Abraham represents faith. And all through history, he called Moses to be the lawgiver. He called Joshua to be the conqueror. He called all the prophets, all the judges, because he said, in these individuals, you will see an expression of me. Am I an expression of my Heavenly Father? I appreciate getting Father's Day cards. Some of them I think are a little exaggerated, like the one I got from my wife this morning. I read it. I said, who are you talking about? It was nice. Should I? No, I won't be. It's too personal. Bible biographies are very, very truthful. You ever thought of that? When we write about ourselves and we give our a testimony of ourselves, we try to make ourselves look pretty good. And that's natural. We're not going to make ourselves look bad. But when you go behind the scenes of some of these people in the Bible, you'll find that the Bible has been very, very truthful. In fact, sometimes it could be considered gossip. Sometimes it's very, very embarrassing. But the truth is, it's what God wanted us to know. Come on now. If it's in here, it's because God wanted us to know it. Are you with me on this? It's inspired. It's in-breathed. It will change my life. It will change your life. It will change our lives as we get into this word. But then we have to know the truth of this word and not just look for the good guys. What I find about the good guys in this word, they had some stories. They had some So click it once for me. I want to say this to fathers. Fathers, your past has no future. And I was looking through the scripture this week for a scripture that could, we could launch this on. And here's the one I found. Psalm 37 and verse 24 says this. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. You say, where is that found? Okay, well, let's go to the next one there. Okay. We're going to read that together. Happy Father's Day. Say thank you. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Thank you. The steps of a good man. You'll notice the word good is italicized. So because the original, it doesn't say good man. Good is understood because later on it contrasts with the bad man, the unrighteous man. So it says there, this is David speaking. The steps of a good man are ordered or established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. God delights in your way. When he falls, some translations say if or though, but this one, NAS, New American Standard, when he who holds his, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Hallelujah. Are you encouraged? I'm encouraged by that. When the good man falls, you know, when you're walking and you stumble, and there's somebody there, especially if it's on top of the stairs. I know sometimes I make you nervous coming to a close to these stairs. But if I stumble here, I'm in trouble. Unless somebody is here to stop me from, if no one's there. God is telling us, when the good man stumbles, he'll not fall completely, because God is there to hold him. We must believe that, friends. And here's what David goes on to say. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. And then he goes on to say, all day long, he is gracious, this is the good man, and lends, he has the ability to lend, and his descendants are a blessing. I want you to know, good fathers and good men here today, your children and your grandchildren are a blessing. Come on now. Sometimes they struggle. Sometimes you're not sure. But they are a blessing. When we determine that God is our Father and He loves us and He's leading and guiding us, we live by His rule, God's rule, it says He will be a blessing. God has ordained that a certain amount of mystery shrouds the full understanding of his sovereignty when he falls. I think one of the most disappointing days of my life ministry, because we were in the ministry for a while, was when I saw the news come across the television that Jimmy Swaggart had been involved in something out there. And I honestly said, that's not true. I'm not going to believe it. I know this man. I watch him every week. I listen to his teaching every Monday morning. He said, this man, no way. It's not true. It's gossip. Somebody started. And then As the day unfolded, and later on the next day, he apologized publicly, and I said, Lord, what happened here? When he falls, and there was Ted Haggard, a man who a lot of people claim was he and his church, New Life, were responsible for the change of the city of Colorado Springs. This church, this man who had a call to pray and to intercede. When he falls, the disappointment, failures, when he falls. I want to just share something with you this morning, not through my voice, but through my wife's voice. And if you would just get ready. There's a song. I want you to come on up and grab the microphone. I want you to listen to these words. I'm kind of using my wife to dedicate this song to the fathers, to the men, but to everyone, because it really is a song for everyone. It's about just understanding that God is still God. I found this picture of the mountains and the valleys, of the light and the dark, and I said, that'll be a good one. Thanks, Logan. I was looking, I thought it was Levi, but I realize it's Logan. And just listen to these words as she sings them for you.
You've got peace of mind like you've never known, but things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God of the mountains is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is to God in the night. We talk of faith when we're up on the mountain, but talk comes easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valleys where there's trials and temptations. That's where your faith is really put to the test. For the God of the mountains is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. Yes, the God of the day is you, God in the night.
Thank you so much, my dear, for that nice card. I will help you down. It would be nice if my wife said those things about me every day. Well, I should be saying those things that I say about her on Mother's Day every day. I hope you enjoyed that song. sometimes we tend to have mountaintop faith. When everything's good, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But when things go difficult, it's kind of, we throw away that confession, that faith, that expectation, that hope. And we've got to live it. Folks, listen, you can't live on the mountaintop. Do you know how a mountain is created? By two deep valleys. Of course, we could be optimistic and say that a valley is created by two real high mountains. Anyhow, failures. I ran across this week. This is out there a lot on the Facebook and stuff like this. Albert Einstein. You know him. He wasn't able to speak till he was almost 4 years of age. And his teacher said he would never amount to anything. You got that? Albert Einstein. Didn't he have something to do with the lights or Edison or one of those guys that gave us so many wonderful, wonderful, genius. And they said he wouldn't amount to anything. Then there's Michael Jordan. After being cut from his high school basketball team, Michael Jordan, he went home and cried. He cried. He said, nobody wants me. I'll never play basketball. Well, it turned out he probably goes down in history as the best airman, best basketball player of all time. Then there's a guy called Walt Disney. He was fired from his job at the newspaper because he lacked imagination. They said he had no original ideas and he was no use to the newspaper. So they let Walt Disney go. Then there was a recent guy called Steve Jobs. When he was 30 years of age, he was devastated and depressed after he was unceremoniously fired from the company that he started. They thought he was a failure. Folks, listen. We prefer success. And the Bible does give us stories of tremendous success. Life gives us stories of success. But if we look behind the scenes, we would find. And so I ask this question, has God ever used those who have fallen? I'm going to put three men up there under success. So just put the pictures of these three. Leave it right there. You know who they are? You say, you don't know either, Pastor. I've never saw a picture of them, but out of Bill Gothard's Men's Magazine, I found these. The one on the left just pressed once for me there, Logan. On the left, that's Moses. In the middle, that is Jacob and David. That's okay, right? Let's give you a visual to remember. We're going to look at these three that we would consider as success. Listen, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Moses took the law from God. Gave them the law. Moses led over 3 million people out of Egypt. I mean, a leader. Success. Amen? What about Jacob? He had his problems, but listen, Jacob wrestled with this angel and God changed his name to Israel. His 10 sons became the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. His sons. Every time evening we look at the news, we see the word Israel almost every evening. This 4,000 years ago, God says, your name is now Israel. Every night we're hearing about Israel because of this man. Well known, successful. And then there's David. I love King David. He's such an incredible individual. If Pastor Ralph and I decided we were going to do a study on King David and preach on him every Sunday, Pastor Ralph, I'm sure it would take a whole year because there's so much in this man's life. Successful? Okay, can we do something? Can we go a little place where the paparazzi can't go and go underneath and go and look behind the scenes at these three individuals. Let's look at Moses first this morning. Would you consider Moses a failure? Take a look at this high-profile leader as he waves his rod and the plagues come over the entire nation of Egypt. As he stretches that same rod out over the Red Sea and it divides right down the middle. As he comes down off the mountain, the Bible says his face glows with a Shekinah glory of God. See this leader as 3.5 million people come to him for advice and counsel. So much so that he almost has a nervous breakdown. This man talked face to face with God, brought water out of the rock twice, made bitter water sweet. This is Moses. I like saying that. Every time you think of Moses, I say, Moses. Kind of has that authority ring to it. Moses. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't call Moses a failure. But when we look into his personal life, we see failure after failure. For instance, how would you like to begin your ministry with a murder on your hands? Murder because of impatience. How would you like to find a clear, distinct call of God soured by 40 years of disobedience? In fact, the plan of God for Egypt was 400 years in Egypt. But you read there, there were 430 years, and that extra 30 years was because Moses acted 10 years too early. He went ahead of God. When God finally confronts him on the side of the mountain in the burning bush, he makes excuse after excuse. I can't talk. I'm slow of speech. Send somebody else. You can read it there in Exodus. And I believe, folks, I'm open for correction here. I believe it is the only place in the Bible where it says that the anger of God was kindled against an individual. Verse 14, and the anger of God was kindled against Moses. We always talk about the children of Israel murmuring. Children murmur. Children of Israel were murmuring. But do you know that Moses murmured long before they did? You find it in chapter 5, verse 22, 23. Why did you send me here? Lord, you look at these people you sent me to lead. Lord, what's it? Murmur. He even had temper tantrums at times. In fact, it was because of his temper when he smote the rod in disobedience the second time that he was not allowed to go into the promised land. And I know, I remember the first time I said, that's quite a punishment. After 40 years of leading these people to this promised land, and God says, you can't go in there because you disobeyed and you hit the rock twice. Well, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. And when they cried out for water, the living water that Christ also was, he was the rock and in him was the living water. It's a beautiful picture of Christ. And God said to Moses, smite the rock with your rod. And out came this water that watered the whole nation when they were thirsty. And later on, they wanted water again. And Moses was so fed up. He was so impatient. He was so angry. He lost his temper. And God said, don't smite it. Speak to it, because that rock, Christ, will only be smitten once. Moses hit it again with the rock. If God had let him go into the promised land, today there would be people who were saying that God, Jesus is going to come back so he can be smitten the second time. He couldn't let it happen. And so he severely punished Moses with that because of disobedience. Moses had his problems, folks. He had his problems. He lost his temple. He murmured. He angered God. Because of his unbelief, because of his excuses, because of his fear of man. You know what I say? Take his papers from him. Don't let him preach anymore. Don't let him lead anymore. Don't let him do anything anymore. He's just a mess. And here's what the Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5. You could click that for us, Logan. And Moses certainly was found faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Listen, after. Way down today, we're honoring Moses, not as the failure, but as a man who has a testimony and an example to his household. Hello? Dads, I've got news for you. There are no perfect fathers. I want to say to our wives this morning, there are no perfect husbands. Hello? No. Well, the wife said, we knew that. Moses, God honors Moses. So let's not see his failures, let's see his successes. And then there's Jacob. Let's look at Jacob. This is the man who said he prevailed with God. He had visions of angels. He recognized the presence of God. So he says, surely the Lord is in this place. Talk about experiencing the presence of God. Jacob experienced the presence of God. This man wrestled with an angel. I believe that angel was a Christophany or a pre-appearance of Christ. And the angel said, let me go. Day is breaking. Let me go. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And then the angel asked him a question that was asked by his own father several years earlier. What is your name? See, and he had come before his blind father, this Jacob guy, covered himself with goatskins. When his father fell his arm, he said, I want a gift to Esau, my firstborn, the double blessing. And Jacob said, I want that double blessing. His mother helped him figure it out. They went into his blind father and he said, who are you? He said, I am Esau. He said, you sound like Jacob. Tell me, my son. Tell me before I give you this blessing. Can only give you once. Only give this blessing once. Are you Esau? Who are you? He said, I am Esau. And now, many years later, the angel, he's saying, bless me. This angel, Jesus, I believe, saying to him, before you can get anything more, Jacob, you've got to be honest. You've got to come clean. You've got to know who you are. You've got to stop pretending. He says, I am Jacob. I am Jacob. I am the cheater. I'm the deceiver. I'm the supplanter. This man lies to his blind father, lies to his father-in-law, despises his wife, Leah. I mean, if you look at that man, Jacob, folks, you'll find here a sorry excuse for a man, for a father. Scheming, lying, cheating, polygamous man is mentioned in the same breath as Abraham and Isaac. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what God said. I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Israel. He became Israel. I would have chosen somebody else. Pastor Ralph, I would have chosen somebody else. You ever feel like a failure, dads? I think in all the things that I've done, 43 years of pastoring, I think that one of the areas I feel the greatest failure in is that of a father. But you look back and you see things where you could have done them differently. And if you allow the enemy to lie to you and to hold that over your head and to condemn you and make you feel badly about it, I want to cut that today and say, listen, look at these guys. Look at these guys. And look at what God thought of them. Look at how God honored them. You know what, fathers? You're okay. Come on, I want every father to say to me, I'm okay. Come on. Come on, that wasn't everybody. I'm okay. Okay, you don't want to say it. You are okay. Right. You're okay. Got some failures, but I'm okay. Let's look at one more guy. And I love this man, the man David. Listen to what this guy says. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. As the deer pants after the water, so pants my soul. So longs my soul after thee, O God. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scorners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This man loves God. He loves his presence. This is a good man. Amen? This is a good man. He served God in fear and trembling. He preached righteousness to a whole generation. He's the man who knew how to war on behalf of his nation and his people. Here's the man who led the armies of Israel in victory after victory. The people even brought up a song about him. Saul has killed his thousands, but David, he has killed his tens of thousands. What a great warrior. What a great man of God. Would you consider David a failure? I didn't until I started looking into his life and reading it a little more closely. The Bible doesn't try to hide it. His behavior is shocking. His behavior is disgusting. The Bible tells us David came to a place in his life, it says that it's a season when kings went forth to war to battle on behalf of their kingdom. Folks, do the application here. We are kings and priests. It was a time when kings went forth to war on behalf of the nation, on behalf of the kingdom. You get that, Pastor Ralph? He was supposed to be warring on behalf of his nation. And it says that David got off of his bed in the late afternoon. He had slept in. He had become bored with being the king. He'd taken everything for granted. He got lazy. Can we use a word? He backslid. When you're backslid, the enemy will hit you. You know where to hit you. And so David gets out of his bed in the afternoon and rubs his eyes and he goes to the side of the balcony. He looks out over his kingdom and he spots a woman taking a bath. See, if he'd been out battling, he wouldn't have seen that. Come on now. And that first look wasn't the sin. It was when he stopped and he allowed lust. He asked who she was. And next thing you know, he'd got her pregnant. How does he deal with it? He sends her husband out in the battle and gets him murdered. I mean, the story is, it's disgusting, folks. It's embarrassing. I wonder how David's going to... I don't know. I was thinking about this early this morning when I see David in heaven. Will I say, man, you're here? I don't think I'll have any memory of that. I hope not. It'd be terrible when I see some of you in heaven. Whoa, you made it like, wow. But one day, he'd married Bathsheba. One day he's relaxing in his kingdom and one of his aides says, the prophet's here to see you, Nathan. He said, oh, I like Nathan's a good storyteller. Tell him to come in. Hi, Nathan. David, I have a story to tell you. Oh, go ahead. In your kingdom, there were two men. One was very, very rich and had hundreds and hundreds of sheep. Lots of friends. See, there was another man, his neighbor, who had one sheep. Very poor man, but he loved that little sheep, part of his family. David's a shepherd. He begins to cry. Go ahead, Nathan. He said, the rich man had a visitor. Company came. And he wanted to put on a feast for him. He goes and steals the poor man's sheep. And kills it and serves it to his company. And the Bible said, David flew off his throne. Who is that? He shall surely die. And Nathan said, thou, in King James, thou art the man. Disgusting. Listen, as David stands over the open grave of an illegitimate child, holding the hand of the woman that he had stolen from her husband by murdering her husband, and listen, and you will hear the voices of his enemies mocking him, the great king, mocking the kingdom of Israel, and mocking his God. You will look at a failure. I call him the biggest sinner in the Old Testament. You know why? He broke 5 of the 10 commandments just like that. 5 of them, just like that. Take his papers from him too. Don't let him write another psalm. This man wrote something. When you want to get blessed, you read David's stuff. And here's what God said about him. I have found David to be a man after my own heart. Jesus was called the Son of David. Again, God does not mind being identified with failure. He lived on this earth for 33 and a half years to understand the stuff that we go through. He knows what we go through. He understands us. He was tempted in every way as we are. Thankfully, yet without sin. Can I just share why I believe God said this about David and didn't say it about anybody else? David had one foot in the law, in the Old Testament, and he had one foot in the New Testament. He was an Old Testament man with a New Testament heart. He understood the kingdom that was coming. He was a picture of it. He was a priest. He was a prophet. He was a king. But he was also a New Testament saint. How can you say that? That God found him to be a man after his own heart because of this. Let me just hear what I'm going to say this morning, please. John the Baptist is in prison. He had introduced Jesus and said, "Behold, this Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This is the Son of God. This is..." And now he's in jail. Jesus is out there, miracles. He's going to Pharisees' homes and they're calling him a wine bibber, a friend of sinners. And John sends two of his disciples and says, "Are you he that should come? Or do we look for another?" John's beginning to have doubts. John! And Jesus said to the two disciples, "Hang around for a while." He stayed for a few days, saw the miracle, and said, "Now go and tell John what you saw, what you heard, and tell him not to be offended in me." As the disciples are going back, here's what Jesus said to the crowd. He began to talk about John, and he said, "Listen, of men born of women," that's everybody. Hello? If any of you are here this morning, you weren't born of a woman, let me know. But of men born of women, listen to what he said. This is a kingdom principle. He said, "Of men born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist." But he's in that side of the kingdom. He said, "Nevertheless, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John." David could have that said about him because he saw kingdom. He saw the cross. He saw Jesus. He saw Jesus hanging. And he saw Jesus and heard him saying, "It is finished." And God ushered in a kingdom of people that he loved, that he liked, that he supported, that he stood behind, that he encouraged. And I want you to know, fathers and mothers and every one of us here this morning, God's not mad at you. He's on your side. Come on. He's on your side. Grace does that. Amen? Grace does that. Grace does that. Hallelujah. Never be afraid of failure. You go through the scriptures and you'll see again and again, "Adam, I failed. I ran and hid. But he came off." Never be afraid. Jonah takes off and runs. Peter goes and hides. Denied him, I've cursed and I've sworn. But did any of these people love God less when it was happening to them? No. And folks, the enemy wants to sit on your shoulder and whisper into you, you failed. God doesn't love you anymore. You'll never make it. Why even try anymore? Why even try? Just go with the flow. I'm here on this Father's Day morning to tell you, these people, whether it be the Old Testament, whether it be the New Testament, the disciples, James, John, Thomas, Judah, like Paul. If I were to say to you, would Paul the Apostle successful? I think you'd say, absolutely. Here's this man of God who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament getting into a big fight with a guy who means encourager. Barnabas, the great encourager, who took him and went with him and encouraged him when the others didn't trust him. Barnabas trusted him. Paul had a big fight with him until the missionary journey got split in two. You say, take Paul's papers away from him too. Don't let him write anymore. What kind of a person is that anyhow? I'm glad God doesn't use us to judge others. In fact, he tells us very carefully not to, right? Not to judge others. Okay, I close. I close with this. Can we put that one with a well? I've got one with a well there, Logan, somewhere. Moses, murderer. He's running away. And here's what it says. And Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, and he dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Some of you this morning need a well. You need a well to sit by. And while you look at that well, I want to share these words with you. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with just another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint on the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. So when care is pressing you down a bit, find a well and rest if you must. But don't you quit. On this Father's Day, I was reminiscing about my earliest memories of my dad. And I think I was 4 or 5. Later on, he became an alcoholic, and it was difficult. But when I was 4 or 5, I remember him telling me and my brother this story. He said there was this man who bought an oil rig. He just wanted to find oil. Must have been in Texas somewhere. And he found a place where it looked good. He did all the studying and everything and testing. And so he sunk this oil well, 100 feet, 200 feet, 300 feet, poured all the money, put all his savings, everything that he had, he put into that oil well. He went further, and finally he couldn't go anymore. He said, I'm finished. And he sold it just for pennies on the dollar and walked away from it, a broken man. The man who bought the oil well, before he dismantled it, he told his crew, he says, well, it's all set up. Let's go a few more feet down and see what happens. They kept drilling, and the second day, they hit one of the biggest oil reserves in the area. And I remember over the years, often thinking back to that. I was 4 or 5 years of age when I heard that story. I often thought, what would have happened if somebody had sat down next to him and read him that poem and said, don't quit. There's a well for you. Amen? There's a well. I want to say to every father here this morning who's the enemy has just been pounding on you, believe God. Believe his report about you. It's a good report. Amen. Amen. And when we come and we put our failures under the blood, and we say, Lord, forgive me. I know I've failed, but I'm asking you to refresh me from your water. Click one more time for me, Logan. Oh, that's the one I wanted. Thanks. You're ahead of me there. That's good. Beautiful. There's a well. It looks like that. Amen. And you say, Father, how much do you love me? And he points to Jesus, and Jesus says, about this much. This much. Dad, you're okay. It gets tough sometimes. It is tough. And I hope every one of you dads, you get a special Father's Day card or a call. I got an M&M card from Florida. From California, sorry. They're the other side, so. I don't even know where my kids are anymore. An M&M card. I wrote him this morning, Facebooked him this morning and said, that's my favorite shop, M&M. I'm talking about the frozen plates, and over here, everything's frozen. But if you haven't heard yet, I hope, and if you don't hear, if you don't get that special card from a son or daughter, I want to say to you, on the basis of what the Word of God says, His love for you tells you you're okay. You're okay. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We have some special gifts. This is, I tell you, Pastor Ralph, I've had Father's Days for 43 years now at church, and this is the best Father's Day gift I've ever seen a church give out. I mean that. That's, Pastor Ralph went looking, and he found a nice gift. And I'm glad this is after Mother's Day, because the mothers then will want something equivalent. But what'd you get, chocolates? Yeah. We got a really nice gift for you. Amen. But I just want to close in prayer. I want to say to you, if you're here this morning and you're a little discouraged, and I'm not talking to fathers only, I'm talking to mothers, grandparents, single people, young people. Talking to the young men that are here this morning, you're going to be fathers. You're going to be fathers. I've heard this, and this did happen to me. When I was 21, I wrote my dad a letter. I was in second year Bible school. And I said, Dad, you know, when I was 14, I thought you didn't know a whole lot. I was trying to be kind. I thought, because by that time he'd been drinking. And I said, when I was 14, I thought you didn't know a whole lot. But now that I'm 21, I'm amazed at how much you've learned. And we will go through that period. We will. But I want to pray for you especially this morning. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you on this day that we honor fathers. But we honor everyone that's here in this house this morning. Thank you for them, Lord. But especially for dads who may be discouraged today, maybe wish they had done things differently. Lord, I just pray that none of us as fathers would ever say what this lawyer said, that spending time with his son was a day wasted. May we cherish the time with our children and our grandchildren. And I pray, Father, that you would remove the pain of failure, and bring healing in Jesus' name. Lord, I receive your healing. Would every father, would every dad say this with me? Lord, I receive your healing. I receive your healing. I thank you that you made me more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my children. I thank you for my grandchildren. And Father, today I pray for the grace to rise above all of my failures, to know who I am in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. I just want to take a moment. While your heads are bowed, I just want you to take a moment and just talk to him right now. Would you? Would you tell him you know you failed, but you know he understands. Just talk to him for a minute. Tell him your dreams. Tell him the things that are on your heart this morning that you have, or you want to see for your family. Come on, dads, take up that role. Help me to be a leader in my home, Lord. Help me to be a priest in my home. Help me to represent you in my home. Help me to be a prophet to hear from you on behalf of my family. Help me to be a king in my home and rule with kindness and love and righteousness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, would you come upon us now? Holy Spirit, would you touch me? Would you pray that prayer right now with me? Just ask the Holy Spirit to touch you this morning. Holy Spirit, would you touch your people today? Touch me, Lord. Touch me. I need your presence in my life. I need your power. I need your anointing. On this Father's Day, touch me with your presence. Thank you, Lord. Touch my heart. Make it soft again. Touch my mind. Remove all the accusations. Remove all the bitter root judgments. All the childhood vows that have kept me as a prisoner. Remove them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom. Thank you for the freedom. Thank you for the freedom. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with a Father's heart. A heart that loves, a heart that forgives, a heart that sees you as a success and a blessing. In the name of Jesus, I speak into your heart the right to be patient with your children, to be loving and understanding. And may your sons and your daughters rise up and call you a good man, a righteous man, an example to follow. Father, I thank you this morning for your sweetness and your presence with us. Bless now the rest of this day as we enjoy your family together. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Amen.